I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is October 13th, 2012. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, an article by Lori Higgins, the cultural analyst for the Illinois Family Institute, titled Cardinal Francis George Comments on the Homosexual Pride Parade. She begins, organizers of Chicago's annual celebration of sexual deviancy, oxymoronically named the Chicago Gay Pride Parade, decided to change the parade route and time for the 2012 parade. This change would have resulted in the disruption or cancellation of the 10 a.m. Mass at Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church. Lori, from dictionary.com. Oxymoron, a figure of speech by which a locution produces an incongruous, seemingly self-contradictory effect, as in cruel kindness. Or Lori, here's another oxymoron, Christian Scientist. Where exactly do you see an oxymoron in the phrase Chicago Gay Pride Parade? Lori, is English your first language? Or are you an ESL graduate? As for the disruption of Catholic services, the only reason I can see why the parade would be a disruption would be due to the competition gays might represent to the priests. But the priests really didn't have anything to worry about because while both groups contain homosexuals, only one group is generally associated with pedophilia. Lori continues, on Fox Chicago Sunday, Mike Flannery and Dane Planko asked Cardinal Francis George how he felt about this. Cardinal George expressed his hope that the gay liberation movement would not morph into something like the Ku Klux Klan, demonstrating in the streets against Catholicism. Lori, that was an unfortunate comparison. Let's mosey on over to Wikipedia for a minute and see what it has to say about the Ku Klux Klan. Well, Lori, it seems the Cardinal has a point. The Klan is anti-Catholic. But wait, reading a little further, it gives the Klan's religious affiliation. Guess what it is? No, it's not a bunch of atheists. Surprise, surprise. It's composed of Protestant evangelicals. These are Jesus worshipers. That's why their symbol is the cross. You should read the whole article, Lori. Here's a short excerpt, sort of a teaser. Quote, the burning of the cross was also used by the second Klan as a symbol of Christian fellowship, and its lighting during meetings was steeped in Christian prayer, the singing of hymns, and other overtly religious symbolism. Lori, your religion has such a marvelous history. It's no wonder you're so proud to be a Christian. She continues, Dane Planko followed up by suggesting that such an analogy might be a little strong, to which Cardinal George agreed, adding that we should look at the rhetoric of the Ku Klux Klan and the rhetoric of some of the gay liberation people. Cardinal George explained that in the rhetoric of both groups, the enemy is the Catholic Church. Lori, tell the Cardinal that in the rhetoric of many groups, the enemy is the Catholic Church. The fact that the Church has countless enemies, from Muslims and Jews to non-believers and little boys, doesn't mean that all of them are linked to the KKK. In fact, the strongest connection to the KKK is probably the Catholic Church itself, as both are devout Jesus worshipers. Lori continues, in the face of silly demands by homosexual activists that he resign or apologize, Cardinal George instead offered the following clarification. Quote, organizers of the parade invited an obvious comparison to other groups who have historically attempted to stifle the religious freedom of the Catholic Church. One such organization is the Ku Klux Klan, which well into the 1940s paraded through American cities not only to interfere with Catholic worship, but also to demonstrate that Catholics stand outside of the American consensus. It is not a precedent anyone should want to emulate. Well, Lori, the Cardinal needn't worry about the KKK anymore. Their membership has dropped from about 6 million to about 6,000. The biggest enemy the Catholic Church faces today is the army of parents who have little boys. You know, Lori, it seems odd that an organization which protects its homosexual child predators would have such hatred towards homosexuals. That sounds like a classic case of self-loathing. She writes, as is their wont to do, homosexual activists, ever the embodiment of tolerance and freedom, became livid over Cardinal George's analogy. Lori, as I recall, you became pretty livid yourself when the Illinois Family Institute was listed as one of the top 20 Christian hate groups in America. Since your organization is now rubbing shoulders with the likes of the Westboro Baptist Church, you should know how it feels to be compared to really despicable people. She wrote, as too is customary for homosexual activists, they seem to believe their indignation and hurt feelings serve just as well as an actual argument. Lori, seem to believe? That's called a straw man argument. Now she writes, here are some of the responses of prominent homosexual activists to Cardinal George's comments. First, homosexual activist Wayne Besson, founder of Truth Wins Out, said, he has crossed so far over the line of basic decency that he couldn't see it with a pair of binoculars. This outrageous comparison of the LGBT community to the Ku Klux Klan was so degrading that apologizing will not be sufficient. If he has a shred of dignity in class, he will immediately step down. Lori, I disagree with Besson in that the degradation was not of the LGBT community, but of the Cardinal himself. Only an idiot would try to make an analogy by comparing two groups when the vile group is actually far more representative of his own beliefs. Catholics for Marriage Equality stated, as a lay Catholic, I am profoundly saddened that Cardinal Francis George defiles his office by comparing our LGBT family, friends, and fellow Catholics to the Ku Klux Klan. Lori, they mean they are saddened for how badly the Cardinal embarrassed himself, not saddened by his nonsense. Human Rights Campaign said, this is a sacred time of year for many people of faith, a time when we should be creating and cherishing unity in our communities, not casting about dangerous and divisive rhetoric. Lori, apparently the Human Rights Campaign hasn't been paying attention to the war on Christmas created by Christians to deny recognition to everyone but themselves. As Christians celebrate the holiday they hijacked in the 1800s. Lori wrote, how ironic that those who defend a parade that celebrates sexual perversion and violates public indecency laws would describe Cardinal George's rhetoric as indecent, degrading, undignified, and defiling. Lori, sorry, but you don't get to define perversion. If individuals violate public indecency laws, then they should be punished, but your claim doesn't apply to the group as a whole. She wrote, it is homosexual acts that are indecent, degrading, undignified, and defiling. Lori, and your basis for that is the Bible? She wrote, we would do well to remember the words of Isaiah. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Okay, Lori, I'll try to remember that. But all it really does is criticize people who call things the opposite of what they really are. That makes me think of you, Lori. As a Christian, you call a murdering, torturing ghost the embodiment of love and wisdom. Perhaps you are the one who should be heeding the words of Isaiah. She wrote, in reality, homosexuality is a sin so serious that Scripture warns that those who engage in it will not inherit the kingdom of God. Lori, if you're going to heaven, then I'll take the other place. no matter how bad it is. She wrote, as such, affirmation of homosexuality would be a desacralizing act. Unity and peace are goods to be sought, but never at the expense of truth and never with the unfruitful works of darkness. Lori, as a ghost worshiper, truth is obviously not important to you, so you are talking out the other side of your mouth as usual. She said, Jesus says, do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. Lori, you just said unity and peace are goods to be sought, but now you admit that you follow a guy who confesses that he came to create division. That was a beautiful contradiction. Sometimes you people make this too easy. She wrote, if we truly love those who experience same-sex attraction, we will speak the truth about homosexuality, offer them the hope that is found in Christ alone, and come alongside them as they seek to pursue holiness. Lori, what did Jesus have to say about gay people? We both know he had nothing to say about them. Your only basis comes from ancient, bigoted Jewish shepherds. Jesus tried to teach you to love everyone. You obviously put more value in the words of the shepherds. She wrote, Cardinal George's analogy is fair and apt. Lori, his analogy would have been far more fair and apt if he had compared the KKK to his own church rather than to gays. She wrote, many homosexual activists harbor unconcealed hatred for not only the Catholic Church, but also for all Protestant denominations that hold orthodox views of homosexuality. Lori, why is that a surprise? If someone thinks you should be stoned to death for loving the wrong person, why wouldn't they feel hate? I hate you, and I'm not even gay. Lori continues, and these homosexual activists openly express their hatred in vile and vitriolic rhetoric. If Fox Sunday Chicago reporter Dane Planko is unaware of this, he needs to do more research. Was Cardinal George comparing the celebration of sexual deviance to the racism and violence of the KKK? Of course not. He was comparing the anti-Catholic rhetoric and actions, for example, parades, of the KKK to the anti-Catholic rhetoric and actions of homosexual activists. Lori, how is a gay pride parade anti-Catholic? Just because it passes by a church? She wrote, but once again, the petulant homosexual activists, desperate for the ideological high ground, are demonstrating either their obtuseness in dealing with analogies or their deceitfulness. Lori, everything you write describes yourself. You are blinder than a cave rat. She wrote, homosexual activists become enraged or feign indignation at any analogy that compares any aspect of homosexuality or the homosexuality affirmation movement to anything immoral, unethical, or sinful because they don't believe homosexual attraction and acts are immoral, unethical, or sinful. Lori, the only support you offer that they are is your Bible, and the Bible has never gotten anything right in 2,000 years. She said, but the rest of the world is under no obligation to accept the ontological or moral assumptions of homosexual activists. Correct, Lori. The determination that their lifestyle is not immoral or unethical is based on the fact that there is no evidence that it is. Therefore, by default, they are as moral as anyone else until they prove otherwise. Lori, ramblings of ancient ignorant goat herders don't qualify as evidence of morality, or anything else for that matter. She said the salient question for conservatives is, does the analogy work? In other words, are there points of correspondence between the two ideas or phenomena being compared? And are the points of correspondence relevant to the issue or issues being debated? Lori, as I proved earlier, the answer is yes if you are comparing the KKK to the Catholic Church. No if you are comparing them to gays. And Lori concludes by stating, whether it offends the sensibilities of those who choose to make their unchosen homosexual attraction central to their identity is irrelevant. If every Catholic parish and every Protestant church had a leader who would speak the truth about homosexuality with the clarity, conviction, and courage that Cardinal George did, perhaps we could end the sorry spectacle of the Chicago Gay Pride Parade for good. Lori, apparently most Christians don't share your hateful, bigoted views, or else they would. And now we move to the science segment. Today's topic. Study proves that one extinction leads to another. According to new research, when a carnivore becomes extinct, other predatory species could soon follow. Scientists have previously put forward this theory, but researchers have now carried out the first experiment to prove it. The study shows how the demise of one carnivore species can indirectly cause another to become extinct. Scientists believe any extinction can create a ripple effect across a food web, with far-reaching consequences for many other animals. The research adds weight to growing evidence that a single species approach to conservation, for example in fisheries management, is misguided. Instead, the focus needs to be holistic, encompassing species across an entire ecosystem. The researchers bred two species of parasitic wasps, along with two types of aphids on which each wasp exclusively feeds. They set up tanks with different combinations of the species and observed them for 8 weeks. In tanks that did not include the first species of wasp, the second went extinct within a few generations. In tanks in which they coexisted, both wasp species thrived. In the absence of the first wasp species, its prey grew in numbers. This threatened the other aphid, which the second wasp species attacks, eventually leading to its extinction. Both types of aphids feed on the same plants, and there was not enough food for one to survive when the other thrived in the absence of its wasp predator. The experiment provides the first proof of something that biologists have argued for a long time. Predators can have indirect effects on each other, to the extent that when one species is lost, the loss of these indirect effects can lead to further extinctions. The principle would be the same for predators in any ecosystem, ranging from big cats on the African plains to fish in our seas. This research highlights the fact that a single species approach to conservation can be ineffective and even counterproductive. For example, protecting cod could lead to increased fishing pressure on other predatory fish, which then, by the mechanism demonstrated here, could lead to further negative effects on the cod. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Lemuel K. Washburn. Birth and death dates unknown. He was an American freethinker writer. He was the compiler of a collection of original and selected hymns in 1888, announced as perfectly free from all sectarianism. He also published various atheist articles, including The Miracles of Jesus and Other Essays in 1917. And now for the quote from Lemuel Washburn. Prayer is like a pump in an empty well. It makes a lot of noise, but brings no water.
Are you ready, Goose?